It's our third birthday.
Happy birthday, us. We'll be celebrating in a bumper birthday video coming soon, and we want to answer your questions.
So if you've ever wondered what our favourite facts are, or how we choose what events to cover, or why we got the giggles in a particular episode, now is your opportunity to ask.
Email us now at theretrospectors@gmail.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's April 16th, 1977, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
So it was today in history that the American author Alex Haley disembarked in Jufru, an unassuming fishing village on the Gambian coast, which had been thrust into the global spotlight by the runaway success of his novel Roots. Haley arrived as a guest on the Gambian presidential yacht to be met by a cheering crowd of onlookers, a stark contrast from the way his ancestor, Kunta Kinte, had left the village 300 years before. Maybe.
Yeah, because the village that he was visiting was the place where he said his ancestor had been forcibly taken from and put into slavery seven generations ago in 1767. And this really was a hero's welcome. You know, there'd been people coming from all around, all of the like neighboring villages for days, and they were singing and clapping and dancing in the streets. And it's really hard to know whether the villagers were there actually to celebrate him or because they knew that this was their moment. You know, this was them in the spotlight that was going to put them on the sort of global map.
I think the latter. I think, you know, yes, they were very proud to be in this number one world best-selling book. But the reason they were proud of that is that Haley had put not just this town, but actually all of Gambia, really, on the map and had inspired through the success of Roots, mainly I think really the TV show than the book, but nonetheless through the success, inspired not just even African Americans, but actually people all over the world to search their own family histories. This was kind of the first viral genealogy hit, wasn't it? This was before Who Do You Think They Are? This is like, you know, people watched the show and were like, oh, who am I related to?
And this wasn't his first time visiting either. He had first visited in 1967, researching Roots. That was the trip that, you know, really inspired him. You know, like a lot of African Americans who came to visit Africa in the 50s and 60s, you know, he had that real sense of homecoming. And then this second time he's coming, you know, and this time he's really coming as an American. He's coming as a famous American author who has, you know, done something to put the village on the map. And he's really being received in that way. He came with a couple of his brothers. And as they reboarded the yacht afterwards, he said, "A hell of a welcoming. You couldn't stage that if you wanted to." And I thought there was a kind of an uncertainty that you can read into that. He wasn't quite sure himself whether he was being met with a completely sincere reception.
Yeah, I mean, also it was because of the timing of the trip, which was really just as the wheels were a little bit starting to fall off. It had come just after this article was published in the Sunday Times in London that asserted that basically Roots had just too many historical inaccuracies in his examination of his own genealogical background to be considered as a straight-up history. And this really started to make him think about what he had written. And also, I suppose it was the beginning of a reappraisal of all of the praise that had been lavished on him and the awards and all of that. And, it was an uncomfortable moment for him.
Uncomfortable, but also actually, I think, unpreventable. Because having had the experience he'd had, you know, doing this research, a lot of it through oral tradition, so there is no written source, so he's just been told many times down the generations. Having done this research and discovered he is related to a Mandinka warrior from the Gambia who was enslaved in 1767 and deciding to write basically a novel about slavery, he's going to colour that novel with his own experiences. It would be weird not to say, and by the way, this is me, this is what I've heard about myself. And then it's almost kind of inevitable that other people would say, well, no, that's not quite right because I heard something different. And they can't prove that either. Like, what he'd actually done in a way is kind of created a new genre. Like, it wasn't a memoir because it goes back hundreds of years. It wasn't a straight-up novel, although clearly you're reading it sort of as fiction with all the detail and emotional detail of what's being described. And it's not a kind of dry family tree biography either. It's something else.
Yeah, he came to call it faction, his new genre. And you're like, okay, it's neat, but dude, you'd passed it off as pure fact, you know, prior to this moment.
I think Haley himself probably knew that he had to take some liberties and he had to join some dots because there wasn't going to be recorded evidence of much of this stuff. The problem was that it became such a huge phenomenon. And for a lot of Americans, it became their main source of knowledge about what slavery was, what it looked like, who was involved. So you can't really put all of that on Haley's shoulders that his representation was taken so much because he never claimed that it was completely historically accurate. It was a novel that was inspired by his family history.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason why it had become this sole source of information about African slavery for so many people was because of its immense success. You know, it sold over 15 million hardcover copies in its first 7 months of release. It stayed on the Times bestseller list for 22 weeks. And partly its success was being fanned by the fact that the TV show came out pretty much simultaneously with the release of the book.
Yeah, apparently 85% of American households with TVs had watched at least some of it. The finale alone attracted 100 million viewers, which is second only to the MASH finale for the most watched, you know, series episode outside of stuff like the Super Bowl.
And that's despite the fact that you can really feel the hands of the ABC executives when you watch it. And if you've seen Roots, the original miniseries.
I have. We watched it at school.
Oh, right. Okay. So, I mean, that's the perfect place to see it in a way because it doesn't in any way turn its face from the grittiness of that experience of being enslaved upon a ship and what that was like, you know, people being sick on themselves and people dying next to you and people being abused and sexually harassed, all that's in there. But because it was made for American TV, there's like no cursing. Every 10 minutes there's a cliffhanger. You know, there's this kind of costume drama vibe to it with all these stick-on beards. So it's very much something you could show to school children, isn't it? But what's weird about it, when I say you can feel the hands of the executives, is they obviously didn't trust that people would watch a show full of black people, basically, that America was ready for that. And so there's this kind of morally conflicted slave ship captain played by Edward Asner, and he's obviously been inserted so that as a white person watching, you're like, yes, that's what I'd be like. I'd have to sail the ship, but I'd feel bad about all those people. And then there's also all these like weird stars in it, like Maya Angelou's in it and O.J. Simpson's in it. And it's just like, that's weird. But it's just, I guess it was just like, if we're doing a TV event, we'll make it a sparkly showbiz TV event. We'll put all the famous African-Americans.
I love the way that the Emmys found a way themselves to celebrate this show by giving their Emmy Award for Best Performer to Ed Asner. So they were like, oh yeah, that convicted white guy. Great performance by him.
Best white performance in an African-American story goes to... There was also a lingering bad taste in people's mouths as well about an out-of-court settlement that Haley made with the author Harold Corlander, who came forward to say that 81 passages from his novel, The African, from 1967, 8 years prior to Roots, have been plagiarised in Roots. And, you know, Haley never admitted this quite, but did settle for $650,000, and as part of that did sort of concede that somehow, you know, very clearly influences from The African had made it into Roots.
The Roots of Roots.
Roots of Roots. And that must have been very difficult as well because, you know, Haley was building on a career as a preeminent African-American novelist writing about the experiences of his forefathers. And here comes along a white Jewish novelist who says, no, I just made it up and look, you stole it.
Yeah, Haley at first maintained that he had never heard of it and hadn't read it, but passages from The African were found stapled to a manuscript page from Roots. I mean, it's not clear whether Haley did that or perhaps somebody in the editing process had noticed it later on. But also, the college lecturer Joseph Bruschak would later say that he remembered recommending it to Haley and had then driven home to bring back his own copy to lend him.
But, you know, what's clear is he certainly tried to put himself in that mental headspace, whether he did that by reading The African or by visiting Africa himself. The point is, he did manage for a mainstream audience to bring those experiences out. I mean, he talks about how he, on the way back from Liberia to the United States, booked himself passage on a freighter and arranged to go in the hold at night. So he'd have dinner up on the ship like a normal passenger and then say, right, I'm going down now. And he would take off his clothes and lie down in his underwear and make himself stay there all night with the cargo, basically, in the absolute bowels of the ship, feeling the water on his face, feeling that smell, that claustrophobia. He said it made him contemplate suicide. I mean, the fact that he can get any of that into the page and then into the TV show is part of the DNA here, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's that personal experience that gives something kind of unusual to Roots, which is that Haley himself is included within the narrative. You know, it includes passages about him trying to trace his lineage, taking on help from academics. But I think that part of the story, the, you know, the explicit presence of Haley in it, really made it appealing, particularly to Black Americans who are descended from enslaved people, because it did create then this interest in genealogy. It said that, you know what, it is possible to trace your roots that you might have thought would be impossible because of the nature of the slave trade, the nature of documentation during slavery in America, and not just in the US as well. There was this weird thing in the 80s where it turned out there was this circular reporting phenomenon going on in the Gambia, which is that, you know, Haley had gone out there in the 60s and he had said, you know, I found out all this information about Kunta Kinte and my ancestors through the locals. By the 1980s, the locals were considering Kunta Kinte a historical figure because of Roots. Wow. You know, it had kind of reverse penetrated the culture there. And people were just like, yeah, yeah, that's somebody from history. Definitely heard of him.
Although circular reporting does sound like a euphemism to me for making money from whatever the tourists want to hear.
Yeah.
Now, this episode first aired last year exclusively to members of Club Retrospectors.
Join today and unlock a new episode this Sunday.
Patreon.com/retrospectors
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.